We're going to focus for the next few moments on God's word for us today. We're in week two of a series we've entitled More. And through this series, what we're doing is we're looking in the Old Testament at a prophet of Israel known as Elisha. He followed Elijah. And as we look at his life, as we look at his ministry, we're going to discover that one word describes it best, and that's the word more. And as we look through it, this is not just going to be educational. We believe that this is a word for each of us individually, that more should describe where we're at and what we want, and that more should be something that describes where we're at as a church family. And we'll be discovering that. Today, we're talking about more of God. And we're looking to ask this question and hopefully answer it. How do I experience more of God in my life? Now, if you came today looking for hope, for peace, for purpose, for focus to your life, then I've got good news for you. There is hope found in Jesus. And today, at the end of this message, we're going to give you an opportunity to receive that hope. I'd like for you to grab your Bible app on your phone. Go ahead and pull it out. And let's look together at 2 Kings chapter 2. We're going to be reading together at the New Living Translation. And we highly encourage you that when you come to Focus Church, that you bring your Bible. And you can bring a print Bible, and sometimes it's easy to forget that, but we hardly ever forget our phones. So if you got the Bible app, go ahead and look at that. And why do we ask you to do that? Because we want you to know that what we preach and what we teach here at Focus Church comes from God's word, and we want you to read it for yourself. Now, as we're going throughout this series, looking in the Old Testament at this prophet named Elisha, we can only hit on bits and pieces of it, which means you got to do homework. You got to read it for yourself. There's so much more. This is a very exciting, thrilling story of how God used a man to impact the kingdom. And so with that, let me say, when you came in today, you should have received some notes that look like this. These have fill in the blanks for you to fill out while we're going along. If you need a pen, they're available in the black plastic baskets. It's underneath the chairs in the row in front of you. Now, when we get to the spots in the message where the blanks are, they're going to be up on the screen. And so it'll help you stay awake. It'll help you know how long I'm going to be talking today. Because when we get down to the end, guess what? I'm done. But we provide this not just so you know how long we're going to be, but we provide this for a couple other reasons. One, so that you can use it to study during the week. Reread the passages for yourself. Study the Bible for yourself. Also, on the back, there's pictures and names of the pastors we have at Focus Church. And we're committed to helping you reach your next level with God. We got our email addresses. You can contact us at any time. Also, we said that the best way to connect here at Focus Church is we're talking about this Church Center app. There's instructions on the bottom on how to download that. Now, if you're watching online with us, we're glad that you are watching. We want to know who's watching with us. So if you wouldn't mind taking a moment right now to write your name and where you're watching from, maybe who's watching with you down in the comments below. We appreciate that. We've got someone amazing who's hosting with you today, and they're going to greet you as soon as you write in there. So we're glad you're here. So we're reading in 2 Kings chapter 2, and what do we need to know about this? We got to bring you up to speed in case you missed last week. We started this whole thing off learning about a dude named Elijah. So it's going to be really close. We're distinguishing between Elijah and Elisha. How I keep them in order is alphabetically. Jah comes before Shah. Okay, so the first guy was Elijah, second guy is Elisha. And Elijah was a great prophet of God, and the Bible records in 1 Kings chapter 18 and 19 about a big battle show off of whose God is the real God against the prophets of Baal. It's an amazing, amazing story. And we talked about it last week. But then afterwards, he got scared and he got depressed. And he's like, I'm the last one left, God. There's no more people who follow you in the whole country. No more. And God said, Elijah, get up. I got 7,000 people who still love me. As a matter of fact, it's time for you to go pick out a dude by the name of Elisha. He's going to be your intern. He's going to be the next prophet of Israel. So go find him. And so we looked and discovered how Elisha was picked to be the intern, and he had a decision to make. Was he going to go all in? Was he going to give God more of himself? And wow, did he go all in, because he burned the plow. He slaughtered his oxen. He said, I'm done being a farmer, and I'm moving on. I'm going to follow in the footsteps of what God has for me. He went all in. He said, I'm giving God more of me. Now, as we look into this next segment we're looking at this idea of more of God, that's what we want. And where we're at now is we got Elijah going around doing his ministry. Elisha's in tow as an intern, probably doing intern things like what? Going and get donuts and coffee or something, right? I just, hey, here, hold my bag, hold my stick while I go take and pray for these people. And, you know, who knows? Lots of traveling and everything, but we know the process of what it means to be an intern. As a matter of fact, I want to ask this question. Anybody here ever been an intern? You've been an intern? Yeah. There's some hands around. Yeah, it's not fun being an intern. Interns are at the lowest of the low. They do all the grunt work and everything. And actually, I think a lot of it's just hazing. Like, hey, do your time. And then one day you get to be like a real person, you know. But that's where Elisha is at. And so we're picking up in 2 Kings chapter 2, starting with verse 1. And here's what it says. When the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven in a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were traveling from Gilgal. And Elijah said to Elisha, stay here, for the Lord has told me to go to Bethel. But Elisha replied, as surely as the Lord lives and you yourself live, I will never leave you. So they went down together to Bethel. Let's pray. God, I pray that as we unpack your word for us today, that you would help us to understand what it means to experience more of you in our lives, more of you. Help us, God. In Jesus' name, we all said, amen. So I got a question for you. Who here, by raising your hands, would say, Pastor, I want more? Okay, I'm leaving it wide open. Like, think of something. I want more. I mean, that should be like everybody. I want more, right? Now, let's find out specifically what you might want more of. How many of you would say, I want more time off? Yeah, wow, this group has been working too hard. There we go. How about this? I want more sports. There we go, especially if it's your team, right? But the Packers, man, after last week, I don't think we could have any more of that. And if they lose today to the Bears, like if you have green and gold stuff, you might want to hide it for the rest of the season, okay? Let me just help you out there, okay? How about I want more family time? There we go. Wow, we got a lot of families in here. Okay, how about this? How about I want more coffee? Oh, wow, yes. Quite a few want more coffee. That reminds me of this video I saw this week of this mom who put her little kid in tow in the back seat in the car seat, and they're driving through Starbucks. And she goes and she speaks like another language when she pulls up to the window. You know what I'm talking about? Like, I want a grande mocha. And it's like, wow, like they understand that it means I want a big thing of something that used to be coffee, but now it's something totally else because it's got a bunch of creamer and sugar in it, right? And some caramel and some whip on top, an extra whip. Okay, yes. I mean, she's doing this whole order of what she wants in her coffee. And as she finishes her order, a little voice from the back seat says, hey, mom, can I have a hot chocolate too? Which the mom turns back to her little boy and says, honey, we've got hot chocolate at home. To which the boy replied, and we have coffee at home too. So the mom turns and says, and I need a black and white hot chocolate to go, please, too. You know what? Sometimes as parents, we got our things set that this is what we're going to do until our kids just totally just diffuse our whole idea of being a parent because their logic supersedes ours. Like, they just ruin it, right? You know, sometimes we say think we're on a pathway, that we're doing good, and it just messes up. But we want to really illustrate this idea of more in our lives. And so for every time that we get together during this series to talk about more, we're going to illustrate more, and we're going to ask for someone in the audience to help us out with this idea. So I'm going to need a volunteer from the audience, and I'm looking for people in the audience, and you're like, uh-oh, he's looking. How dark is this room? Can he really see me? Like, who is he going to pick out here that is going to help him out? And so I'm looking across the room. You're like, please don't pick me. Please don't pick me. So I just really don't want to embarrass anybody except for the person I'm about to call up. And so the person I'm going to call up right, oh, I already picked this person. Mike, come on up here. Mike, there we go. Let's give a hand to Mike as he comes up here. Wow. He had no idea he's coming up here. And he's like, what are you getting me into, Pastor? Mike, I need you to stand right here, okay? Would you want more? You want some more? Of course. Okay, so here's what I got to give to Mike. I got him a dollar. This is for you. Okay, now you have more dollars. Now, but here's the thing. We want to talk about even more. So I want to give you an opportunity to have even more of what you got right there. Would you like that opportunity? Awesome. He's like, yes. Okay, so in order for you to do this, Mike, you have to give away what you actually have. And so we need to know, Mike needs some help right now. Is there anyone in the audience that would like to have his dollar? Oh, I saw a hand right there. Yep, that's you. It's your dollar. So go ahead and give away your dollar to him. There we go. Give him a hand. He just got more than what he had. He has a dollar. Woo-hoo. Okay, so that means you got to come back up here. We're giving Mike the opportunity for more. So, Mike, here's what I got. I've got a box that's right here, and we're going to call this box A. You can't peek in there, okay? And then we got a box over here, this box B, okay? And in one of these boxes, there's more of what you had in your hand. In one of these boxes, there's less. And you're going to have to pick one of them. Before we pick box A or box B, we're going to ask the audience for some help. So if you think Mike should pick box A, raise your hand. Okay. If you think, you saw that, okay. If you think Mike should pick box B, raise your hand. Oh. Well, but you don't have to go with them. I think it might be more important to have figured out which one your wife voted for. So should we ask her? Which one should he pick? Because he doesn't want you to be mad at him later for picking the wrong. Oh, she's saying B, I think, right? Is that the one we're going to go with? She's always right. Okay, so B it is. Let's come over here. Let's see what's inside this box here. Okay, come on, Mike. Come on. This is your box. So why don't you look in there amongst the tissue paper and see what you see down there.
A penny.
Oh! He picked the box with less. Look at here. Let's give Mike a hand. He got a penny he gets to keep there. Thank you very much, Mike. Now, he wishes he was walking away with box A. Should we look to see what's in box A? Yeah, let's look. Let's see what you could have had, Mike, if you didn't listen to your wife. I don't know. Let's see. Wait, I'm having trouble here. This would have been all yours, okay? You would have had more of what you had. So we got to choose wisely when it comes to more. More. So here we got intern Elisha. He's following after Elijah, his master. So like master and Padawan, going around and doing things. And he's learning, he's following. And all of a sudden, Elijah says to Elisha, hey, I think God's leading me to go to Bethel. But you don't have to go with me. You can stay right where we're at. And you don't have to go. But Elisha says to Elijah, no, as surely as God lives, as surely as you live, I will go with you. I will never leave you. Wow. Now, I don't know if Elijah was trying to be nice to him, saying, hey, I know I'm doing some tough stuff and you need a break and everything. You've been working hard and you need some PTO time off that the interns normally don't get. You know, it's okay if you don't come with me. Or was it a test to say, will you stick with me no matter what, no matter how hard it gets, no matter how difficult it is? We don't know, but here's what we do know, that the Bible just said this situation happened, and right afterwards, here's what it says. Elijah says to Elijah when they get to Bethel, saying, hey, God's telling me that we're supposed to go to Jericho, that I'm supposed to go to Jericho, and if you don't want to go with me, that's okay. You can stay behind in Bethel, no big deal, but I need to go to Jericho. So Elisha says this, as surely as the Lord lives and you yourself live, I will never leave you. And so they take the journey to Jericho. Now, we don't know how hard of a journey it is, but we're seeing this pattern that Elisha's not going to give up, no matter how hard it is, no matter what they do, no matter how crazy it is. Because here's what the Bible records next, is that Elijah comes to Elisha and says, hey, God's telling me I need to go to the Jordan River. And if you don't want to come, that's okay. You can stay behind here in Jericho. No big deal, but I'm leaving today to go to the Jordan River. So he gets another opportunity to say, hey, I'm done. That's okay. I don't have to continue this pathway. And I'm going to assume it's hard because being an intern's hard. A lot of expectations, a lot of things. But here's what Elisha says. He says, as surely as the Lord lives and you yourself live, I will never leave you. So no matter how long it was, no matter how tiring it was, no matter how exhausted he was, no matter how hard or difficult it was to continue to follow Elijah, he was like, I'm not leaving your side. Nothing can stop me. And we have to admire his tenacity to say, I'm going to hold on. I'm not going to stop. Man, I meant something when I said, I'm giving God all of me. When I burned that plow, when I slaughtered my oxen, I'm not going back to farming. I'm going all in on my next. I want God to have all of me. And yet, as he's actually walking through it, things are not working out, but he's given opportunity for an exit ramp. So he can be off, but he's saying no. Well, let me tell you this. I got a question for you. What will it take to stop you from following God? Because following God is hard. Sometimes we think it's going to be butterflies and rainbows, that everything's going to work out because I'm blessed and God has everything for me. And it's going to be, woo, yeah. And as soon as something bad happens, we're like, whoa, then I must have messed up and God must not be real. And we quickly go off the exit ramp. Had a couple in our office talking with us recently, talking to Shalee and I, and they're dealing with some stuff. But here's what I know about this couple is that they're taking some big steps to allowing God to work more in their lives. And they're like, wait, we're going further. We're going on with God, and we're saying yes to God, and yet bad stuff that keeps on happening to us. And so they asked us the question, Pastor, when will it stop? To which we replied, when you stop following God. Like, oh. He said, yeah, the attacks will stop, the bad things will stop, but you're going to be miserable. You're going to be miserable. And it kind of doesn't make sense, except that Jesus kind of warned us to this. He was talking to his disciples. He said, guys, just know this. In this world, you're going to have trouble. But you know what? Sometimes we can handle part of it, but then something else happens, and then something else happens, and it seems that it just goes wrong, that I'm taking one step forward and two steps back, one step forward and two steps back, and like I'm trying to go after God, but it just seems like thing after thing that I can't handle it anymore. And you know what happens? We get to the point that we just want to grab the towel and say, this is it, I'm done. I just want to take this towel. I want to throw in the towel. I'm done. Too much. Can't handle it anymore. See, we lack the faith needed for the amount of faith required to move on, to go on. But did you know that our faith can increase in its endurance? How do we know this? We'll take a look in a second. This past summer, my wife and I were on vacation with our kids. We went to the beach in Florida. But we had to leave them in Florida to go to Colorado to go to a wedding. And so we're on the beach one evening, and that night we're flying all the way to Colorado, and we get to the area a day early, Colorado Springs area, and I'm like, hey, Shalee, let's go up to Pikes Peak. Let's go all the way to the top. Let's drive the 20-mile trip all the way up to the top, and we did. Let me just tell you, Pikes Peak is 14,000 feet above sea level. We were at sea level the night before. The next afternoon, we're at 14,000 feet. Let's put in perspective. That's 3 miles up. We get to the top. We open the car door. And we're like, what's going on? I can't breathe. And our head was going light. And we were feeling so sick. And we're like, what's going on? Our bodies weren't used to the lack of oxygen at that level. We were going into shock because we were just at sea level, and we're now 3 miles up in the air, and we couldn't handle it. Our lungs, our heart, our bodies did not have the endurance yet to make it there. Doesn't mean it's impossible. It just, we did it a little too fast. So we're like, let's get out of here. And we went down the mountain. It was pretty for a moment, but we lack the endurance. And what is endurance? Well, the definition of endurance is this: the fact or power of enduring an unpleasant or difficult process or situation without giving way. Basically, how much pain can you take before you give up? Endurance. James talks about endurance required for following God. He describes it in his book, James, chapter 1. It says this: Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. This is a part of fallen God, that we go through tough stuff that require us to further trust God. And every time we take a step further, we trust God, our faith level increases, that we can handle more, that we can survive longer through the pain, knowing that we can make it to the end and we can trust God even more and even more and even more. It grows. So it simply means that when our faith is tested, we get more endurance. It equals more endurances. So when we struggle with quitting or giving up and we make it through, our faith grows. Imagine it's like the canisters in Monster Inc. being filled up. Our faith increases. Jesus told a story about this in Matthew chapter 13. Described that this is what it's like to follow God. That not everyone makes it. That not everyone makes it to the end. And that seems kind of sad to think. And not everyone is going to make it to the end, because a lot of people try to start off and they try to follow God, but they don't make it past the first hurdle, the first struggle. And so Jesus told stories on a regular basis, regular make-believe stories that he made up. We have a big theological word to describe them. We call them parables. It's just a made-up story, but it's just a way for us to illustrate or to understand what is the kingdom of God like. What does it mean to follow God? And so he told a story once about a farmer who was scattering some seed. And just imagine for a moment that I got a satchel draped over my arm and it's sitting right here, and the farmer's going out and it's full of seeds, and he says, psh, psh, he's spreading seed everywhere he can, hoping that it grows. And Jesus describes that as this farmer is spreading out seed, that where it falls first is on a pathway, a footpath, where the ground has been packed hard. And so it's literally, the seeds can't penetrate the ground. They're actually on top of the ground. And he describes that birds come in and snatch up the seed. The seed's gone. It never produces anything. In the second spot that he spreads the seeds, it's good soil, but it's shallow and it's got lots of rocks underneath. And plants begin to grow up and sprout, and it looks like they're doing well, but as soon as the sun comes out and shines heavily on them and focuses on them, they begin to wither because they don't have deep roots, because it hit rocks. It was shallow soil. The plants die. The third place that the seeds were scattered was an area with a lot of weeds, thorns, that the plants did grow in that ground. They started growing up, but then all of a sudden the weeds surrounded them and choked them up. And the plants died. But the fourth place that the farmer scattered seed was good soil, fertile soil. The plants took root. They grew, and they grew up so much that they multiplied 30, 60, 100 times, an abundant harvest, way more than just one little seed. Now, after Jesus tells this story, disciples are like, whoa, dude, I don't know what kind of pizza he had last night, but that was a crazy story. We don't understand it. Why are you telling these crazy stories? And he gives an explanation of why I tell these stories. But then they're like, well, we still don't understand. Can you just explain what it is? What were you talking about with the seeds and the soils and the farmer? And Jesus describes in Matthew chapter 13, starting verse 18, and you can put in your notes on the side that I need to read Matthew chapter 13, read this story all together, and see if you have those same sound effects going on when the farmer's planting his seeds, right? Yeah, there we go. But here's what Jesus says to explain what the story meant. He says this, now listen to the explanation of the parable about the farmer planting seeds. The seed that fell on the footpath represents those who hear the message about the kingdom and don't understand it. Then the evil one comes and snatches away the seed that was planted in their hearts. The seed on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy. But since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems or are persecuted for believing God's word. The seed that fell among the thorns represents those who hear God's word, but all too quickly the message is crowded out by the worries of this life and the lure of wealth, so no fruit is produced. The seed that fell on good soil represents those who truly hear and understand God's word and produce a harvest of 30, 60, or even 100 times as much as have been planted. Wow. Saying God's word is available to everybody. Everyone has the opportunity to say yes to God that I'm going to follow. That you can say, I want more of God in my life. But depending on what kind of soil your heart is and where your faith level is at, you might not make it. That when the first opportunity says, hey, you don't have to come to this next step, you're saying like, deuces, man, I'm out. And that's where Elisha was at in this moment. That he had opportunity. He was a lowly intern. He had opportunity to be out, to be done, to take a break. It was hard. It was difficult. And maybe for you, let me just say that this happens. As soon as you take a step closer to following God and saying, I want more of God in my life, guess what? Something's going to go wrong. As soon as you make the decision to say, you know what, we're going to be more committed to going to church, is when you're going to get the notification and now all your kids' sports team events are now taking place during church time. And just as you say, hey, I'm going to start volunteering and spending more time at church, is going to be exactly when you just got offered, you know, that full-time position you've been wanting that takes up all your time. And just as soon as you say, hey, I'm going to honor God with my first, my best, and start giving 10% to God, it's going to be immediately when you have a crisis and you get a pay cut or you lose a job and everything, you're like, whoa, okay, I guess I wasn't supposed to do that. And immediately when you're trying to take steps closer to God, you're like, hey, I want to do this, I want my family to do this, it's exactly when something happens with your family where you're like, whoa, what's my relationship status? This doesn't make sense. This is not working. And I thought we were all together, and now we're not together following God. Stuff's going to happen. And the question is, do you take the exit ramp? You say, well, I guess I'm done. But you see, we see three different types of people, three that make it, one that does. But did you notice? There is a reward at the end. There's a reward at the end that when the seed is planted in fertile soil, there is something good that comes out of it. That no matter what you go through, no matter how bad it is, no matter how difficult it gets, if you make it through the end, there's good stuff waiting for you. Someone asked me recently, it's not in the notes here. They're like, Pastor, you know, we've been seeing that you've been going through a lot this summer ever since we made the decision to say we're going to expand Focus Church and we're going to try to reach more people and we're going to expand our physical church here. There's been like bad thing after bad thing after bad thing happened where I'm like, where's that towel? I need to throw it somewhere, you know? I mean, it's been that bad. And so someone came to me recently and they're like, Pastor, I mean, you've been a part of growing ministries before. Were there bad things that happened when you were doing something like that in another place? And I'm like, oh, yeah. They're like, well, tell us about that. And I'm like, yeah, you know, I can't remember. But I can tell you all the good things that God did. You see, the human mind and body has this amazing ability to forget the bad and remember the good. I can prove it to you. Anyone who has a second kid. They're like, yeah, let's have another, you know, like, they forget the pain, agony, forget the physical aspect of birthing a kid, but just like the sleepless nights and all the schedule changes and everything. Yeah. We have this ability to remember the good, forget the bad. If we get to the other side, there is a reward. So here's Elisha following Elijah. They got to the Jordan River. And here's what's supposed to happen next. They're supposed to be on the other side of the Jordan River. And over there is where God is going to do a miracle and take Elijah up to heaven. He's not going to die. There's going to be a whirlwind. It's going to be fiery. It's going to be amazing. And Elisha has the opportunity to experience it. But they got to get across the river first. And so Elisha gets to witness a miracle that Elijah does. And here's what Elijah does. Elijah takes off his coat. He rolls it up. He takes it and he whaps it on the water. And immediately the water spreads out and clears out the water in the middle of the river. And they walk across to the other side. Whoa. This is amazing. This is awesome. Wow. Like, this doesn't normally happen. And Elisha's seeing this about Elijah, saying, wow, he's a man of God. And he's that tight with God that he could just, like, take his coat off and go, whap. And water just, whoosh. That's so cool. So it's time for Elijah to go up into heaven. And he turns to Elisha. He says, Elisha, I'm so proud of you for sticking with this, that you stayed all this time, as you've made it this far, and it was tough, and it was hard, and we thought it was impossible to get to the end, but here we are. So before God takes me, I want you to ask me anything, and I'm going to pray that God gives it to you. Ask me anything. Kind of sounds like Aladdin, you know, getting the genies, like, you can grant you 3 wishes, and he can't ask for more wishes, right? Like, except this is just 1 wish. Whatever it is, what would you wish for? If you could have more of anything, what's it going to be? And luckily, Elisha didn't choose like Mike did earlier, who chose less. Elisha chose to say, what you have with God, the anointing of God that you have on your life, I want that, but I want more than what you had. As a matter of fact, I want double. I want a double portion of God's anointing on your life. He was saying, I want more of God in my life. Double of what you had. Kind of a crazy request. It kind of took Elijah back, like, whoa, wait, yeah, I'm tight with God, but you want to be even tighter? This is crazy. But he said, hey, if God gives it to you, God gives you, I'll ask. And it's really cool what happens next, because the Bible says that God grants it to Elisha, that the anointing of God, that he had more of God's presence in his life, equal to double of what Elijah had. And God was with Elijah. Elijah didn't die. He just went straight up to heaven, got promoted to heaven. I mean, that's amazing. And Elisha gets double? Now, how can I prove to you that Elisha got double of God's presence and more of God in his life? Well, remember that he got to experience the very last miracle that Elijah did. The very last miracle was crossing the Jordan on dry ground. And many people saw it. They said there was 50 people on the shore that saw this happen. It wasn't just these two guys collaborating. They saw this happen. And the Bible actually records 14 miracles that Elijah did that could only come from God empowering him. Now, if we study Elisha's ministry and the miracles that he did with God's help, the Bible records 28 miracles. Anyone do math? 14 times 2, 28. So here's where we're at. I don't know exactly where you're at on following God. Maybe you're here today and you're thinking that, you know, I haven't really started this journey. Like, I'm just exploring. Like, should I have God as part of my life? Maybe you're watching online and you're like, hey, I want to get closer to God, but God feels far away. Maybe you're sitting here like, I've been following God for a long time, but I remember a time where I was closer and I don't seem as close right now. Maybe you've been following God a long time and you're like, hey, God's been awesome. God's been good. I'd have it no other way. But you're wondering, is there more? No matter where you are at on that spectrum, if there's something we need to do, let me just say, anytime you take a step closer, whether you're taking, hey, I want to start at the beginning, maybe you're saying, hey, I feel like God's been less in my life and I need to give him more and I want more. Maybe you've already been there and you're saying, God, don't hold back from me. I want even more. The moment we step out for more, it's going to be even harder. But our faith will grow. We'll be able to make it. We'll be able to last longer and go through the pain to experience the reward at the end, because God has more for us. But we got to say, I want more of God in my life. So if there's a decision we need to make here today, if there's something that I would say, this needs to be my prayer, this needs to be your prayer, this needs to be our statement, this needs to be our church's statement, it's got to be this, that I choose to stay and experience more of God in my life. Choose to stay. That I'm not going to stop. So no matter what is happening, no matter what goes on, no matter how bad it gets, no matter how hard it is, no matter how difficult it gets, no matter how crazy it gets, no matter how much I want to give up, no matter how much I want to stop, no matter how much I want to take this towel and I want to throw it in and just be done to stop this pain, to stop this thing, I say no. I say, take that towel, you stick it in your hand, but you don't throw it. You take that towel, you start whipping it around, you turn it into a rally towel, and you say, bring it on! Bring it on! Keep on going, my faith is going to grow through this! Because I'm not going to stop, there's a reward at the end. Don't throw in the towel. Starts with saying, God, I want more of you. I want more of God in my life. Take that step forward. I believe that's what God has for us this fall, that we're being challenged to want more of God in our lives, individually and as a church. I believe God has so much more of what he wants to do, what he wants to release, what's about to take place. But it all starts with us saying, God, I give you me, and I want more of you. And no matter what takes place, no matter what comes to try to stop me, no matter what exit ramps come up, no matter how many times I'm given the opportunity to go back, to give up, to give in, I'm saying, no, no, no. Because I'm going to grow. I'm going to go. I'm going to keep on. So I'm going to invite you this time to bow your heads, to close your eyes, because we're going to spend a moment talking to God here. When I'm talking to God, I think you need to talk to God. I think you need to have this phrase in your mind and what you say to God, that God, I want more of you, no matter what it takes. Maybe you can identify with the attacks and the adversity that's been faced as you've been trying to take steps and say, hey, God, I'm not going to give in. Tell him, I'm not going to give in. I'm not going to give up. Grow my faith, God. Tell him. He can hear your thoughts. He can hear your whispers. He can hear your prayers. Don't give up. Don't stop. So, God, we pray to you today. We're so thankful that we have your promise that says if we don't give up, there's a reward. We want to be that fertile soil where the seeds that you plant in our lives produces a crop 30, 60, 100 times more than that first seed. But God, we know there's going to be adversity. There's going to be problems. You said we'll have trouble. It's not always going to be easy, but there is a reward at the end. God, help us learn from Elisha, who had every opportunity to stop whatever it is that he was doing or how he was following. But he said, no, I'm not leaving. I'm not stopping. I'm staying in. And he got the reward. He asked for a double portion of your anointing. And God, I pray for more for us individually. I pray for more of you. More of you for this church, for this family, for this area. God, you've been writing a great God story through this whole area and what you've been doing here at this church. Lives have been changed. People have grown. People have come to find hope. And God, we know you're not done yet, but you have so much more. But it starts with us saying, God, I want more of you. Tell him that right now. God, I want more of you in my life. Tell him that you're not going to stop, that I'm not going to stop. I'm not going to stop. I'm not going to give up. No matter what I face, my faith is going to grow in endurance. Show us that you're real. Show us that you care, God. Show us that you're there, God. love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name. And while our heads are still bowed, our eyes still closed, I'm reminded that a few moments ago, we said that if you came today and you need hope, we said hope is found in Jesus, and we give you the opportunity to receive that hope at the end. And here we are. You see, we've been talking about it really all along today, this idea that when we follow God, it's the best way we could possibly live our lives. It's not perfect. It's not going to be butterflies and rainbows. What we're saying, it's on purpose. It's on mission that God grows us, that we change as we follow him, that God has so much more for us. But it starts with a decision and a conversation with God. We call that conversation prayer, simply talking to God. We say, Pastor, how do I do this? What do I got to do to begin this whole thing with the God of my life? Well, there's two parts to this. One, it's that conversation or that prayer. Second part is by showing the whole church family that I've made that prayer, and that's why we get water baptized. We create a word picture of our body going underneath water and coming back up, like we're saying the old me is dead and the new life has begun. But first, it comes down to that decision, that prayer with God. And in that prayer, we tell God that we're not worthy, that we're sorry for the sin in our lives. We believe that God sent Jesus because he loved us, but Jesus had a purpose to pay with his life for our sin. He paid the price and penalty so that we can be forgiven, that we can be set free, so that we can be a part of God's family. And thirdly, we say, we make the decision, say, God, I give you me. I want you to be the boss of my life, to be in charge, to be the leader over me, that I will follow you. And I want to help you pray that prayer today, so I'm going to do it with you. Matter of fact, I'm going to lead you in that. I'm going to say the prayer in bite-sized pieces out loud, and I'm going to encourage you to pray this prayer with me, out loud with me, repeating after me. But don't worry, you're not going to have to pray this alone. Don't be embarrassed. You see, I'm going to ask the entire Focus family to pray this prayer with us, because no one prays alone here at Focus Church. See, this is the main thing of what we do. We are focused on helping people find God's place in their life. And that's why we take this moment to pray this prayer together. So let's do it now. Say, Dear God, I'm sorry for the sin of my life. I need you. I believe you love me so much, you sent your son Jesus to pay the price for me. I want to live for you with you in charge. Give me hope. Give me freedom. Bring focus to my life. In Jesus' name, amen.